Welcome to Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky, a podcast that is not just information, but impartation and activation. This podcast offers supernatural conversations that will encourage and equip you to live the Spirit-empowered life. Fireborn Ministries exists to see Jesus awaken this generation to the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen in to this powerful and encouraging conversation and share this episode of Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky.
Where am I?
Why, well?
Where am I?
I know it is.
I'm quite up.
Exhilarating.
Eye-opening.
Rewarding. Gratitude.
Tantalizing.
Pharmacy. Disciples.
Great. La réalité.
Flexible.
Bromance. Fantastic!
So I heard somebody in the background saying, pharmacy. Well, it turns out that every single person on our sick was sick at least one time on the entirety. Yeah. One person was actually sick the entirety of the trip, whether that be an ear infection or malaria or just common cold or food poisoning or something else like that. That's what we got.
Where were you on that?
I was only sick for one day. I have an iron stomach like you, Leslie. So this was our report back that we were able to put together before we did the presentation for the entirety of our group in Wyoming, Luzon. So we were part of the December 15th to February 8th, 2023-2024 DTS, French and English. So I was able to also learn French during that time. I could do the entire presentation also in French, but you wouldn't understand it. On our time in Madagascar, we visited five different places. First, we landed in the capital in Antananarivo. Can you guys say that? Antananarivo. There you go. Great job. We went to five different locations. The first base that we stopped in was Land of Canaan. We stayed there for, I believe, 2 weeks. And then we took an eight-hour road trip down south to Paradiso Kelly, which is literally in the middle of nowhere. If you screamed and somebody shot you, nobody would ever find you. That remote. We stayed inside of a village with 200 people, where we were the first people to ever feed the entire village. And it was owned by people that are affiliated with YOM, and it was the first time that YOM-centered people had ever been there. We then went to a helicopter mission, which sounds a little crazy, and it is a little crazy. We took a helicopter to an unreached village that had never heard the name of Jesus before. That was about 4 hours away by walking, 10 minutes away by helicopter. So me and my entire group were able to go there, preach the gospel, and stay overnight. Then we went back up to Antananarivo, to the YWAM IFR base, where we stayed for the remainder of our trip. And then at the very end, we said, let's do one more last hurrah. And we went even farther down south to a weekend village trip, where we stayed there for 3 to 4 days, preaching the gospel in churches, dancing with children, and doing a lot of fun stuff. These are some of the different types of ministries that we did. Radio ministry was in Antananarivo, Helimission, which was in Paradiso Kelly, and the Rockfield, which I'll elaborate on more later. all of these ones that you can see. The only one that I missed was the orphanage. We only went to one, and I wasn't there because I was sick that day. But if you have any more questions, I'll leave it open for you guys at the very end if you have any. We also had to do testimonies, so they had us translate them into Korean. So I'll just do this one because I knew it pretty well. I summarized it. So basically, we took a helicopter mission, went all the way there, preached the gospel, saw 9 healings, 1 demon manifestation, and saw maybe 200-300 people give their lives to Jesus that day. This was my story, the prison ministry. This ring that I have on here was from somebody that murdered his family. So let me tell you the story. We did prison ministry in the weekend trip, one of the last places that we visited. We were able to do prison ministry, and we went in there. I was supposed to go up there to preach. It was an awesome time of just preaching, worship, doing a lot of other fun things. But somebody else said everything I was going to say. So I said, hey, can I just sit back for a moment, just let you guys do it? And they said, yeah, absolutely. So I sat back reading my Bible, and I saw a guy off to the left. He was brown-skinned, had tattoos, very muscular, and he looked older. He had 2 rings on his middle finger. I pointed to them, gave him a big thumbs up, and then took one off and said, here's a souvenir. I pulled aside a translator. We talked to him. His name was Fion Chu, which in Malagasy means full of good things. He was in prison for murdering his family of 4 and had 4 more months on his sentence. The Lord, though, gave me a verse for him. It was Hebrews 8:12, which says, I will forgive their sins and remember their iniquities no more. I asked him, can I pray for you? He said, yes, absolutely, you can pray for me. As I prayed for him, he started to break down crying. Afterwards, he said, I'm not a Christian, but I see the love in your eyes that you have for me, and I want to give my life to the Lord today. He accepted the Lord as his Savior. We gifted him a book in Malagasy, and I have that ring to remember it by. They also make these rings in prison with an ancient Malagasy coin. They don't have these in circulation anymore because of hyperinflation that they've been through, but they make these for the winner of prison wrestling. To pass the time, they have tournaments where they wrestle each other all day. We were also gifted a lot of money by specific donors, and I think it was around $1,000, and we were able to distribute it pretty evenly across different areas. Our team prayed together and said, hey, this is what we want to do with the money, and if we agreed on it, we had spiritual ease at it, we would go for it. We gave away about 60 Malagasy Bibles to different people, different ministries all across Madagascar. We were able to put about $400, which is, this is all translated into Swiss francs, and their currency is a lot stronger than ours, so I'm trying to translate it into dollars. We were able to put down a lot of money to build a church in Paradisa Kelly, which is the main village that was in the middle of nowhere. We also did more Bible distribution in the rock field, which, like I said, I'll talk about it later. Basically, where people are enslaved and they have to work for literal pennies a day. We also gave a lot of money for a classroom to be built in Paradisa Kelly, food packages and widows, and I'll show you guys a picture of that later, and repairing the roof of an elderly woman's house, which was very dilapidated and had mold inside of it. These are some of our statistics, because our team kept together quite a few of them. So we killed 179 mosquitoes. As a total, our group read 250 Bible books. I read the entirety of the Old Testament, not the New Testament, still working on that. But we also had 556 bananas eaten.
That's impressive.
As a group, 19 different forms of transportation, which were, whether that be mine carts, cars, buses, helicopters, doesn't matter. 59 different Bibles distributed, 6 baptisms, 70 people were saved, which this figure is not correct because of problems within our team. We did not count people on top of the ones we already had. So the real number is nearly over 1,000, but our team only wanted to do specifically confirmed ones that they had personally done themselves. 33 different miracles and healings, 632 prayers given, and 2 cases of malaria for the same person. And that is the first part of my presentation. Yes, Mr. Nick.
Why are those portions translated into Korean?
Because part of the group that we came back into in Luzon is very much Korean. Nearly half of the people that are there are from South Korea, so to make it easier on the translation, they have it written out.
Follow up real quick?
Yeah.
Why so many from South Korea? That's interesting.
That's a good question. They have a lot more... They have a lot more Y-Wimmers.
It's the most missions in the world.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Thank you.
Did you see the little penguins and the lemur?
King Julian.
Yeah.
We got to hold...
Was it? King Julian.
Did you see King Julian?
We got to hold them. We actually went to a lemur park and got to see them.
was you talking like this?
And see, you also bought one.
Yeah, they bought
They had basically like a
10 lemur. Oh, that's cool.
In Paradisa, Kelly, they had actually purchased one and domesticated it for about 10 US dollars.
Oh, my God.
So they had him tied to a tree. Day that we left. I have Jesus in my heart. Was a slideshow. So I'll be going through all of the photos individually that you guys saw on there, and I'll explain a little bit more on what they were and what the photo necessarily means. This was taken from somebody, I don't know who, showing us on our first day to leave. It was one of the scariest days of my life because you don't know where, you know you're going to Madagascar, you don't know what it's going to be like, you don't know if you're going to be sick, and yeah, just a ton of other different factors. You can't see it because you can't see our faces, but we were all very stressed. This was our first day walking towards the train station because the train station took us all the way to Geneva or Zurich, where we would fly out of. And we were able to go. There were two teams, one that went to Tanzania, one that went to Madagascar. Normally there's three, but this time we only had two. We were able to fly on the same plane until we landed in Ethiopia, and then we had to split off. So it was good to finally be with them for the last 8 hours, then say goodbye to them for two full months. This was the first base that we went to. This is Land of Canaan. It doubles as a school, a church, and a place to hold over YWAMers. So they have a full-time school where they have close to volunteer employees to teach all of the kids there. And then on top of that, they host YWAMers, like us. This was one of the sunsets that we saw, and to keep the costs down, instead of barbed wire, they use glass as the walls so that people don't climb up on top of it. It's very jagged, too. Don't sit on it.
You learned it the hard way?
I did. This right here this is a really unique story. We were sitting outside doing all of our homework and stuff, praying, going through the motions, and then we hear this crunch. We're like, what was that? Our leader runs outside of the gate, and he's like, guys, a car flipped over. All of us run outside, and we're like, what the frick? The car? The brakes had failed and started to go downhill because the road was at a slant about this high. It came all the way down. The person revved in the side, and he had his foot outside the door. It flipped over on his side, crushing his foot. We had to push the car over, drag the guy out, and then give him medical attention until we could take him off to the hospital. And then the car was taken away the next day. But if you see it right there, there's scrapes, marks, and the door was absolutely busted by the time that we pushed it over. But it was really lucky because the car was literally outside the door. So it's like you open the door and he's right there. We donated a lot of money to give to, I think, 24 different widows, some eggs, the rice, and the oil, because most people in Madagascar have one meal a day, mainly rice. It is the 15th poorest nation in the world, so there's not a lot of food to go around. They cannot collect it all in time because there's so much field, but there's not enough workers, which is why they make a lot of kids. I'll expand on that more. So we donate a lot of this too, and they also use the buckets. At the same time, I also gave my first testimony sharing, just talking to them about my life, and yeah, it was a great experience.
Did you get a medal?
This is the base in better. These were all of the women that we gave the buckets to, and the rice, you can see them in the bottom. They also use the bins to wash their clothes. They have to wash them by hand. No washers. This was on the 23rd of December because Norwegians watch a specific film every single year at 9 o'clock. It's this one film. I don't know why they use it particularly. Every single year. It's basically just this. It's basically just this guy who gets drunk at a party. And then the next year they watch it again.
Is it like their version of A Wonderful Life or something?
Kind of. But it's 10 minutes long.
Oh, it's 10 minutes long.
On Christmas Day, to make all the girls feel special, I made them little bouquets.
Nice.
Going towards Paradisa Kelly, our car broke down. So we found a mechanic, and they use every single tool possible. Like, when you think of an auto shop, you're like, man, it's got to be clean. You know, no, it's not clean at all. It's like the most disgusting place on earth. They will use tools that look as if they're dead and have been around for about 20, 30 years and use the same piece over and over and over. There was a problem with the fan. They literally just took a welder, took a piece of metal that looked black as heck, welded it on there, and just pounded it back inside, and they were like, all right, guys, let's go.
Because they can't afford their cars, right? So they have to make their cars last forever.
As long as possible.
What's the story
about at the end. This was the little lemur boy. When we got to Paradisa Kelly, it's kind of their form of hazing. We're supposed to dig out a road for 2 hours in the hot sun. You just have these tools like shovels and like these long spades, and you just dig out the road the entire time. We had a lot of different prayer sessions and worship sessions because it was a very nice area. We had electricity, we had water in the middle of nowhere, which was very surprising. And we were there for about 3 weeks. This was our first time at Sunday. It's brutal on Sundays. It is so brutal. They have nearly 100 people that are packed in there. I cannot move. My knees are right up against the person. I'm basically standing at some points just to see the people because the benches are so close together. There's no airflow. You are on the top of a hill. And if there is airflow, it's not coming towards you at all. Those windows do absolutely nothing. You are sweating. You have to dance for 3 hours straight before they actually start the message. Then the message is over. You dance even more. Then you leave. It was a lot of fun.
Joy was life, really.
The locals love football, soccer. So we played a lot of soccer with them. We had organized games. And you had to make sure that the ball didn't go downhill because there's a slant. And if you lost the ball, it just went all the way down. All the way down. So you had to be very good at football, too. These were the bunks that we stayed in. There's three of them. One of them is hidden in the dark. But like I said, you had electricity, you could wash your clothes, they had running water out of the wells. They also had fish farms that they were harvesting fish out of, so they were very self-sustaining. We also were able to go to the beach twice, one with a different group from YWAM that came from Ensenada. They had a longer travel day than we did. They had about 56-hour travel day. We had 16-hour travel day, so they had it a lot worse than we did. Yeah, and fair warning, if you ever go to Madagascar, you better be very fit at swimming. I nearly drowned in those waters. That tide is so strong. It just sweeps you out like nothing. It's pretty wild. They also, on top of the hill in Paradisa Kelly, had a school where all the local kids would walk 3-4 miles a day, sometimes even 10 miles a day, to come all the way to school, which is only about $5 a month. Some people can't even afford that, though, for their clothing, for their food, and for their, education. Yeah, it's about $5 a month. Some people can't even afford that. Yeah, so it was a lot of fun to be able to just like take their minds off of that and just play with them. At this point, we were playing Entre Toi Soleil, which is red light, green light.
Say that slower.
Entre Toi Soleil.
Is that French?
Yes. Okay. 1, 2, 3, sun. And these were the farms, fish farms. So at this particular instance, they were catching them by hand for no apparent reason. They just said, hey, go in there. Just like catch your food by hand. I'm sitting right here. I was not about to get into those like foot deep mud. And everybody else was, like, you could see these people kind of foreign. These were all the part of the Mexico Ensenada team that came there. They were a lot of fun to hang with, too. And those are the fish that we harvested. That's the helicopter that took us there. It took about 15 minutes by helicopter, but it's 4 hours, like I said, by walking from the main road to the village. And one thing that really was annoying is that, like, Coca-Cola had already been there before Christ.
Yep. Wow.
That was us in the helicopter. And these were the hundreds of kids that we preached to. Like, they had swarms of children. They reproduce on a daily basis, I swear. They have kids all the time. And, yeah, they were a lot of fun to hang with. Even though we had, like, very few translators at the time in this village, they just are so joyous with absolutely nothing. They have these big smiles on their faces. They have no cares in the world. And we're over here like, man, I wish my phone was charged. I also didn't bring my phone, so all of these pictures were taken by somebody else. We also did a lot more kids' ministry in the same village, and they had never seen balloons before. So when we gave them balloons, we blew them up, and they were like, well, what do we do with them? We just like started to show them like what to do with the balloons, and they had a big, fun blast with them. We also had dinner At the same time that we were also doing ministry, they had a medical team that was performing dental surgeries. So they were pulling out rotten teeth with for like very few dollars. It was kind of incredible. And we ate dinner with all the doctors and stuff. It was a great time. This is my team. You can see me in the right corner. And the doctors are all here in the background. And this is the guy that was in charge of Paradisa Kelly and the missions group, which right now they're doing about 3 helicopter missions a day because he wants to reach all 30,000 villages in Madagascar, which is nearly impossible. So he's trying to go for that. These are the surgery area. So, yeah, it's not the most clean thing in the world, but they still get it done. After the helicopter mission, our leader surprised us and took us to this very nice resort. They just said, here's your first month. We're going to decompress. So for 3 days, we had this great time of just sitting in the pool, enjoying, you know, movies and stuff and having great food. And then right back at it. This is in Antananarivo. There are people that live right here off to the side that have been there in 10, 15, 20 years. And they live right next to a trash dump. Every day they'll walk through there trying to find scraps of either food or cloth that they'll wash and turn them into bath mats and sell them at the market. Their entire life just revolves around that in the trash. Like, you can see these children have no shoes. They walk on that trash on a daily basis. They're trying to collect as much as they can. We also did a lot more elders ministry. So at the final base in IFR, we were able to sit down, preach to them and just talk with them and ask them, like, hey, what can we pray for? We did skits. We got very good at improv. We also took a couple different times before we left to go to a local pool at the Radisson. That was very nice, just to like decompress before we left. School ministry, they were kind of unprepared for us, but they're like, hey, here you go. So we just took all 250 kids. We're like, hey, let's put together a program. So we just threw together a program of like doing Jonah and stuff. You can see me in the bottom right corner acting. And I think this was Jesus calming the storm. So they were just enraptured with the story. It was incredible. This was a juvenile prison that we visited twice. Many kids were in there for bad things and some were in there for absolutely no reason. Sometimes they get taken off the streets because there's nowhere else better for them to live. So they get food, they get clothes, one meal a day. And when we went there, we were able to play football, soccer with them, basketball with them, and just overall try to be a good positive influence. Some of the kids were in there for bad things like, you know, rape or murder or attempted murder. So heavy stuff. But we also didn't judge. That's not our place. This is Madagascar, one of the best pictures that I've found so far on our forum. This is all rice fields. You have rice fields for as far as the eye can see. And of course, on top of that, you see the slums all around the corners and stuff. And then on top of that, you see like very, very nice houses in the middle of nowhere. This is the rock village. This is one of the best pictures that I found. There are people, you can see them working up there, that take big rocks off of the quarry, break them down, and then sell them to people that break them down even smaller. Those people will sit down on little rocks and just break the bigger rocks into smaller rocks to turn them into gravel for 10, 12 hours a day, making about $1 a day per person. And then that gravel will be sold off to a Chinese company, which will be exported out of the country. Our team was also gifted the opportunity to go on a radio station in the final village, not in Antananarivo, but close to there. And I think 9 different people shared their testimonies or encouragements or preached to them. It was incredible. They were actually encouraged by one person who came up to them at a supermarket and said, hey, are you the people that were on the radio last night? And they reached maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people for each person on the radio station whenever they went. This was in a big market where I was preaching. 40 people gave their lives to Jesus that day. And Jonathan has this big speaker on his head, just predicting the sound as much as possible. These people, they look so joyous and happy, but at the same time, they are dying on the inside. I kind of went into it. The Holy Spirit just said, hey, I want you to just like ram on their traditions. I basically destroyed their beliefs and their views of exhuming their ancient relatives and praying to them, asking for blessings of the future, or believing that there's a couple of different things that don't come to mind right now, but a lot of people give their lives to Jesus. That's what's important. After I finished preaching to the crowd, another crowd formed around me because they wanted to hear even more. There were other people that were also preaching. My entire group had an opportunity to preach, but a lot more people were just like, hey, I want prayer. I want this. So I prayed with these people, talked to them. It was great. We had a translator at every major function.
So talk about the languages really quick.
They have 2 major languages, Malagasy and French. French is not as well known maybe in the capital, because if you know French, you're more educated. You've been to school, you know what you're doing. And if you don't know, you're almost exclusively bound to Malagasy, which is a very small language in itself. Only 25 million people speak it, and each place has its own dialect, so you can generally understand them, but not really. There are certain words, certain pronunciations that others cannot distinguish. Wherever we went, we had a translator from that area because they understand it more. This was a kids' ministry group where we had literally 60 seconds to put together an entire two-hour program. Our team was said, all right, guys, let's huddle around. We had to put together a skit, a teaching. I was in charge of kids' ministry that day, and it just went incredibly smoothly for 60 seconds of having to throw together this entire thing and dealing with 200 people. This was in the prison where I got this ring, and on top of that, Quinn, you could see the white guy in the picture, gifted his guitar to the prison itself, which they had been praying for 4 years to get a guitar.
Come on.
This was one of the sunsets. It changed four colors that night. It changed to pink, to purple, to red, and finally to like this hot pink and yellow. That's another picture of the side of the rock field, the slavery field. And at one of the churches, we were also gifted coffee, so I took advantage of the coffee. It is a very small cup. They have very small portion sizes compared to what we have here. Same in Switzerland. And that was our flight back. That's everything. 5 months. Yeah, Switzerland, Madagascar for 2 months.
Yeah.
Just seemed like we just said goodbye,
right?
We're back.
We got there at the very end of September. Just came home, February 17th.
That's my presentation. I also brought back some souvenirs. This one I bought at an art store for $10, so it's a double-bladed knife. It's pretty dull right now, sadly, so I need somebody to sharpen that up. Exactly. This was a little lemur that was gifted to us by the final base. They made these by hand, so it's a cute one. It's a little scary, a little prickly. I don't know.
That's why it's scary.
This is made out of a bamboo stick with I don't know what type of seeds. This was my journal. I journaled every single day in Madagascar, so everything that happened is inside of here. I also brought back some vanilla for my mom, which is going to be turned into vanilla. Yep. And I got this really cool thing at the market.
That's cool. Yeah. It's got a real Asian feel, huh?
They call it Madagascara in their native tongue.
They wear those as kind of like a sarong, like a skirt type thing?
Well, this is all that they have for clothing in the villages. They just wrap one of these around them and then... All right, that's your clothes for the day. The exchange rate is $1 to 4,000 ariary. Wow. You can buy a kilo of rice for 4,000 ariary. And so they have... This is all their currency. I was able to get all the denominations from my little brother because he loves to collect them. This is 10,000, so it's $2.50. This one, it's like not even a nickel. It's what they use. They don't even use coins anymore. And the 20,000 in here is their largest denomination. They have nothing larger. They cannot use it.
$5?
Yeah, $5 is their max.
Three coins.
And then they have these three coins. They're 50, 10, and 20. None of those are in circulation anymore. They basically will not accept them.
Thank you so much for listening to Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky, a podcast that activates you to live the supernatural life. Subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and share it with your friends. Leave a 5-star rate and review, which helps us reach more people with the love and power of the Holy Spirit, and partner with us at firebornministries.com. And may you live your best spirit-empowered life and have your own adventures in the Holy Spirit.